Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo right here for you every Wednesday, God willing. And hopefully you're here every Wednesday, God willing, as well. And today we have an exciting show for you. So don't touch that dial.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Columbo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Columbo, available at Amazon.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Columbo Chronicles Live and the Justice Club. We had it the Justice Club because there's very little justice in the world, and I have been talking about justice for 30 years, looking for it everywhere, but it seems to be disappearing as the years have gone by. So we have very little justice, and some people get no justice, like the U.S. Navy officer who was just released after many years in prison, and they found he was innocent. Happens all the time, folks. Happens all the time. Your life stolen, wiped out, and you become a prisoner of the government based on accusation. So there you go. That's where we're at in today's world. So all the money in the world can't replace those years you're lost and locked up in a prison where it's horrifying and you can't be with your family and friends and be free and create a life for yourself. It is absolutely unbelievable what happens to many victims of legal abuse and injustices that people never hear about. Well, Dr. McCullough has some news for us today. U.S. life expectancy falls. Again, in historic decline. And this is a historic decline because people began dying after COVID was unleashed at the Wuhan biochemical lab in communist China funded by Americans. And then on top of that, they lied through the whole process and they prohibited ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine immediately for treatment, which they knew have been around for generations and safely used to help cure COVID according to international doctors who they silenced. And then they locked us down and took us hostage and took away our freedom, liberty, rights, pursuit of happiness, and the right to choose and the right to free will, to control our own bodies. And yet they say you can abort your baby at any time during, at, or after, or even up to 28 days they're pushing. And that is not abortion at that point. One detective called it homicide. But that's what happened. And this is what's been happening, and they introduced remdesivir instead into the hospitals and nursing homes, which they didn't tell you it had direct adverse health effects, serious health effects, and they did not disclose in the beginning that the in experimental and trial injections also had a very long list, which Pfizer had, Dr. Fauci had, CDC, and WHO had, that World Health Organization, that listed pages of direct, adverse, serious health effects to healthy people that could make them invalids for life, debilitate them for life, causing their families to be caregivers, pay for caregiving, or it could cause death. But they didn't tell you any of that to make you an informed person so you could make an informed decision without fear mongering, coercion, and threats, which are all crimes on the law books. And isolating children and elderly are also crimes on the law books, in case you didn't know. And they did that too. So this is what Dr. McCullough says. And this is very serious because they are telling us that they were helping save lives and expand the lifespan of people, when in fact this is what's been happening by 2022 in just a short span of time. According to the latest statistics, life expectancy in the United States dropped precipitously in 2020 and 2021. In 2019, the average lifespan of Americans of all ethnicities was nearly 79 years. By the end of 2021, life expectancy had dropped to 76 years, a loss of nearly 3 years. That's huge. Even small declines in life expectancy of a tenth or two-tenths of a year mean that on a population level, a lot more people are dying prematurely than they really should have died. And now today, we have children dying from myocarditis, heart attacks, strokes, and other serious diseases. Just healthy young people, athletes. Yesterday, an Italian mother reported her 18-year-old healthy son, who was a lifeguard saving lives, lost his life after he received 2 Pfizer jabs. So there you go. Native Americans and Alaskan Natives, Dr. McCullough says, have the highest rate of diabetes out of any ethnic groups, 1 in 7. And obesity is also common. Both of these conditions have been identified as comorbidities that make you more susceptible to serious COVID-19 infection. But aside from COVID, causes of death listed as contributors to this loss of life expectancy include accidental deaths, drug overdoses, heart disease, chronic liver disease, and cirrhosis. However, excess deaths from all causes are widely elevated across age groups. That life expectancy has dropped by 3 years, 3 years, since the start of the pandemic can be explained by the simple fact that the primary remedy for COVID, the experimental mRNA COVID jabs, are the most lethal drugs in medical history. And you can read that on Dr. McCullough's site, mercola.com. And every day we are hearing of more and more children and young adults and teenagers dropping dead. And they were not allowed to go to school or played sports without receiving the experimental and trial injections. And they are experimental and trial injections, which are not case studied short and long term and published for up to 5 to 25 years, published in medical journals or FDA licensed vaccines. Why doesn't the FDA want to put their license on those vaccines? Actually, experimental and trial injections is more appropriate because they are not licensed vaccines, to the best of my knowledge, to date. But on that note, we are going to enter into the wonderful world of authors and experts, and we have a dynamic author with us today. In fact, she had a book published, narrated by Richard Arlen to Maxine Coolidge. And She edited the book and had it published, and her name is Judy Watson, and she did a fabulous job with Wings. And she is going to talk to us a little bit about her book, but also she's come here today to talk to us mainly about the Holocaust, because she is well-versed in the Holocaust, and I think that we really need to pay attention. So on that note, we're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a minute to speak to our fabulous guest, Judy Watson.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, welcome back to Colombo Chronicles Live, and we are here to enter into the world of authors and experts and the Justice Club, because there's so little justice in the world today. And you do know, don't you, that Justice is for Sale, which I wrote in my first award-winning book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, and version two, just for your knowledge, keep a note of it, is coming in 2023. Everybody needs a copy of Fight Back Legal Abuse version 2, updating to today's issues of the day. Now, let me tell you about our very dynamic guest, Judy Watson, who wrote the book Wings, and it is a fabulous book about old Hollywood and the movie Wings and the many classic actors and actresses, which you would definitely love to read about, stories that are untold, but Judy knows the secrets because her family's been in the movie industry for decades and the health industry as well. So she is a wealth of information. Judy Watson was born in Chicago, Illinois, and she has lived in California since 1947. She is a graduate of Arizona State University, where she majored in literature. She has two grown children and three grandchildren. She currently lives with her two dogs and three cats in the beautiful city of Westlake Village, California, not far from Hollywood. This is her first published book called Wings. So congratulations to Judy Watson, and you can find it on Amazon.com. So let's enter into the world of authors and experts and say hello to Judy Watson. Hi, Judy. How are you today?
Well, hi, Rose. I'm very happy to be back on your show. I always enjoy it very much. Enjoy listening to you also talk about how important it is to know the truth and how rarely we do.
And Boy, isn't that the truth?
No, I know.
I
don't want to talk too much about myself, but I worked in a law firm for 10 years, and my eyes were wide opened by the time I finished there. We investigated fraud. We were closed down because of fraud. And throughout my tenure there, I just had so many things happen, and I saw so much that I didn't like. And the only way I was ever able to actually clear my name was because I had access to an attorney. And I thought to myself, the average person doesn't have that. And this is why people constantly get taken advantage of.
Even if you do have an attorney, it doesn't always mean he's competent or he cares about his clients or that he won't drop the ball on his client because he takes too many cases or because the client runs out of money, which also were written in my book, Fight Back Legal Abuse. So it can be either way. You can get a great ethical lawyer, and you are so fortunate that you count your blessings, or you can get an incompetent lawyer. In fact, Judy, in the past when I was leading a movement, Women Fight Back Against Injustices and Legal Abuses, which I believe was the first in the country, helping women and children who are going through divorce, losing their children, their community assets, their support, and basically being left homeless and impoverished by gender-biased judges. So I addressed all that, and the fact is that, you know, you just never know whether you're going to get a objective, fair judge who will uphold the law on community assets and custody, and or if you're going to get a gender-biased judge, either way, whether it's the male or the female, or you may get one that takes a white envelope. I mean, you just don't know. These are all strangers. And so there's very little you can actually do to a judge. And so, so it's like, I always said, it's like throwing the dice, you know. And sometimes it's, you know, like when you're in Vegas, the cards are stacked against you. But if you get lucky, I mean, you just may get some justice or maybe even a lot of justice. It just all depends on the judge and the lawyers and your participation in your own case as well. But anyway, Judy, I am so happy to have you on the show because I am very concerned about the fact that even Dr. Mercola today reported that we have lost, since COVID hit and the injections, the experimental and trial injections hit in 2021, we have lost 3 years of our lifespan. That is huge and historic. And so I'm very concerned about the depopulation, which my book, Obamasaurus, addresses as a political satire. And I'm also concerned about, is history repeating itself from the Holocaust? And since you were alive and a little tiny child at that time, would you mind telling our audience what you experienced at that time when things got really bad for the Jews and where you were at and what happened to you and your brother and your family?
Well, I was 3 years old. The war had begun. My father was drafted. We were living in Chicago. My parents had separated, but these are things that I did not know because in my generation, you know, we weren't allowed to ask questions. So my grandparents placed Larry and I, my brother, my older brother, in a boarding school. It was not normally a boarding school. It was actually a prep school, and it was a Christian, 100% Christian school in a very nice area in Chicago, Illinois. Many years later, and I mean, now I'm older, I'm sitting in a class at the Jewish temple, and a German woman who had converted said to me, "Were you hidden Jews?" And it stopped me cold. I had never thought about it. But now when I think back, we were the only Jewish children in that school. And I realized that my grandmother, who had been a victim of anti-Semitism growing up as an immigrant in this country, had cleverly placed us there. So, yes, I was alone. I was fine. I am blonde and blue-eyed. I look very Dutch, and I would always see the pictures. I had braids and pinafores and little Mary Jane shoes. I passed. My brother did not. and he would be locked in at night into a black, dark room, he told me years later, with a young boy who was dying of grand mal seizures. And in those days, there were no doctors there and no medicines for that. And when he would pound on the door to be let out, the woman in charge would yell at him, "You dirty little Jew, shut up." And of course, being 7 years old, he did. And he kept this inside of himself most of his life. And then in his late 20s, early 30s, he had his first nervous breakdown. And I do look back and I think about what he suffered and was never allowed to speak about. And I think if he could talk about it out loud, that is why I decided I'm going to do my memoir and I'm going to go back and look for that school and find out what happened to the hidden Jewish children of that time. We really were not wanted. I think we were lucky, Larry and I. And here's something else I found, Rose. I found a map of the United States. It was on the, it's when Google used to allow us actually to get, you know, free access to information. It was like 20 years ago. And on this map, pinpointed across the United States, were all these little adoption centers. They were in post office buildings. They were in empty church buildings. And who was in those buildings, I don't know, but I do think that quietly there was kinder transport. I met a woman years later who told me she was involved, and that though it was against FDR, you know, desire, he did not like Jews. Most people didn't. They were quietly bringing, if they could, Jewish children in and hiding them across the country. And now, of course, you can't find anything. I often wish I'd been clever enough to print everything out. But that's really what was happening. When I came out of the school, it was when the war ended. I don't think that was a coincidence. And then we lived in a duplex on Winthrop, it was, in Chicago. And one day, playing outside, a group of boys I did not know grabbed me by the neck and started to choke me, calling me a filthy, dirty little Jew. I didn't know what that meant. And practically unconscious, they left me alone. I went into the house. I told my story to my mother and my grandmother living with us. Nobody said a word. And that was
the end.
That's
funny that you say that, Judy. That is so, so disturbing to hear the story of what you had to go through and what you experienced as a little child and then growing up. Because I went to Catholic school. And later in high school, went to public school, but my main years were Catholic. And, you know, you just sparked my memory bearing, but I just don't remember them talking about the Holocaust at all during those years. And
nothing. I did my own research, but it began for me when I was an adult. Because throughout all my school years, there was nothing. They do have some classes now. My grandson is in private schools. I don't know if they do it in the public schools. But in his junior high, they actually had a Holocaust survivor come. And by the way, this is a Christian school that he was in. And they do acknowledge it. They do talk about it now. But look how many years.
Yes, and it's really amazing how many years, and it's very frightening today because when you listen to a professional like Dr. McCullough, who's very articulate, and he says since COVID and the experimental and trial injections came to America, our lifespan went down 3 years, which is historic, and they are telling us that these injections are saving lives, and remdesivir was saving lives, and hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which were totally 100% safe and effective and FDA approved, used for generations by international doctors who said they used them for cures, and they were all silenced. And now, because of their actions, it appears that more people are passing away, including young people. I read it every single day, whether it's from America or across the oceans in Italy, that these young, healthy children are dying after they're injected with this mRNA injection and Pfizer trade secret formula. Nobody's talking about. So why would anybody, Judy, because you experienced this and you are Jewish, why would anybody believe that it's okay to be injected with an experimental and trial injection that they have no idea what the consequences are, and then also a new drug that they didn't reveal the direct adverse health effects to the sick person who already had COVID. So this is very disturbing, and it to me, you know, you can get shot by a gun, but you can also get shot by a needle and get injured or killed. So to me, the Holocaust is a very important analogy of what potentially or possibly could be happening to the masses and in America as well in the most modern age of advancement in other than Israel in medical history and medical advancement, and yet the lifespan is decreasing, not increasing, with their experimental and trial injections and their new drug, remdesivir. What do you think about that?
Well, I talk to a lot of people because I'm curious, and my friend, a man, wonderful man, sent me a video. I think I sent it to you. It was lost pictures by a photographer from Life magazine of Hitler, and you see the masses of people. He had a hypnotic effect on people, and you see, which are really all the red and the black, and it is just staggering. And there's a book I also really recommend to anybody who wants to understand that period called In the by Eric Larson, and it's In the Garden of Beasts. He writes historical novels. What I'm going to say here and what I've run into when I talk to people is there has been almost a mass hypnotic effect on the people of this country. I can't tell you if these are subconscious messages we're getting. By the way, subconscious propaganda began back, I think, in the 50s, and they used to teach that, and they don't anymore in the schools. Or is it the media? Do you know every time I put on any local channel, I get to know where the latest COVID shots are being given, and that I'm told, again, get those boosters to be safe, to be safe, to be safe. It's almost, it's a complete manifesto. It's hypnotic, and it's also the people I know who do everything. They do it because, one, people like to be compliant. Two, people don't like to question. Three, they feel safer when they are told what to do. And all you have to do is watch Biden on the television. You're not a good American unless you get a COVID shot. Oh, okay. So there is this anxiety and fear that is placed into people that if they don't behave correctly, then they are against their country. But that is the same thing, and that's the theme of the book of the Garden of Beasts. It is the rising of Hitler in Europe. And we have sent over an American ambassador. It's during the time of FDR. And he has a daughter, and she keeps a diary. It's all based historically. Fascinating book. And the man writes, this ambassador, what he is witnessing as the Jews begin to be killed outright. Absolutely believed by all the Germans that this is the correct thing to do.
And that's exactly how I felt about Bill Gates buying up $300 million or $500 million worth of airtime on all the major stations and radio and the two giant social media sites here, which he was invested in. I don't know if he still is, but he was. And you know, all these billionaires who invested in controlling the communications, they have the power then to continue to do these, what I call them, they're not advertisements. They are infomercials that are mesmerizing, fear-mongering, and causing people to comply with, be safe, get vaccinated, wash your hands, distance. And it went so far as to go into parking lots in America or into markets and stores, and the clerks turned into Gestapos, and it was so uncomfortable, and they were talking over the loudspeaker, be safe, distance, stay 6 feet away, wear the mask, wash your hands. I mean, all these orders, I felt like I woke up when Dr. Fauci announced COVID-19 and we entered into communist China, and this was no longer America. And we were healthy people.
Yeah.
Not everybody had COVID. Most people did not have COVID. And children, according to international doctors and scientists, children don't get COVID. And if they do, they have a 99.999% recovery rate. And do not jab the children. And do you know that in the EUA PrEP Act, I read it, and it stated clearly, the original one before Mr. Becerra from HHS began revising it with Pfizer over and over and over till they changed it to include all the children and the babies and start jabbing the entire planet. And with these experimental and trial injections, and in that EUA, Judy and audience, it stated clearly, the original one, that they were not to include the children, and they were not, and if anyone was harmed, they were to end the EUA, and they were to cancel out at that point the 100% immunity, because then they had knowledge that people were being injured or dying, and they were to end it, and they have not, because they are reaping in $67 million a minute worldwide, I read, around from these injections since January 2021 began, and they were rolled out. And the group life insurance companies and the morticians and ethical doctors have reported their statistics all prove out to be about the same. There is a 40% increase in the death, and they've never seen so many young people dying from heart attacks and strokes than myocarditis since January 2021 after the jabs were rolled out. And yet with all this information, they continue to ignore it and alter it and revise it until it even includes pregnant women and babies. And also, the doctors, the credible doctors, have spoken out and stated that this can also cause children to become sterile, which is very possible, because they did that in Texas when Governor Perry mandated that all teenage girls had to be injected with Gardasil by Big Pharma.
Oh, that's a
those children
one.
Either
do you
and
know
many
how many
of
my
kids
daughters
either died or were paralyzed,
yeah.
And made sterile.
They're still doing it, and I still see the ads on television. You love your children, don't you? You know, sometimes things happen. That's the latest ad. It may not happen when they're young, but it'll happen much longer, older, when they're older, and you want to protect your children, don't you? This is just propaganda put out by Big Pharma. But I think the one thing I did like about Europe, I don't think they allow commercials for medications on television, and I absolutely do not think we should allow that, because I think that's where they get too much power and have had too way much power for many, many years. And they now own the so-called independent places, clinics and hospitals where they do research, and they give grants of money. If you don't have an answer they like, they take that money away. So there's no independent research left. you know.
You also have billionaires like Bill Gates, who funds more money to Big Pharma than anyone else. And he funds the universities, and he funds the public schools, and he funds the Monsanto. He's invested in Monsanto. He's buying up all the farmland. He wants to create genetically engineered people, genetically engineered
food,
milk,
yeah.
and molecular meats. And so it's a very and he works with China, and China's buying up our farmland as well. Now, this should all be illegal, unlawful, and unconstitutional, which, in my opinion, it is, to allow a foreign enemy nation to buy up our homeland, our farmland, and our water because we, the people, own it.
Well, we've done that before. We did it with Japan. Don't you remember when Japan, when California was going to fall into the ocean and become a part of Japan? I remember that very well. But then Japan went belly up, and I think that's the hope inside. Well, maybe they'll go belly up, and then we can reclaim everything. But it doesn't look to me like China and Japan are, the same way politically. Politically, that China has a great deal more control over everything. I don't know. If I go back and I research history, Rose, everything we're seeing is almost a repeat. I'm going to tell you something that stunned me. I knew a Japanese man who was interned. You remember they took the Japanese and they put them in the families in internment camps during World War II? And it wasn't, it was because of Randolph Hearst. Hearst controlled the media. He was so wealthy. He controlled the papers. He hated the Japanese, and he set out to destroy them. And this was part of the process, was taking them all, making them into enemies, and putting them into these internment places. And he succeeded. And how was it possible that he succeeded, that people allowed that? They allowed their neighbors to lose their homes, their jobs, everything. But they did.
Well, they just did it during the lockdowns in 2019. Thousands of people lost their businesses.
Huh? Yes, aren't we there? So basically what you're seeing isn't anything new. These are like old tricks. Like, what's that song, Everything is New Again, in from Bob Fosse's film? Everything old is new again. And that's really what they've done. They've taken everything, put a little twist on it, and gone out there. And people do react with the same fear, which makes you wonder, I do, are we fear-driven or are we stronger than that? I don't know. I don't know what the average person is like.
Well, knowledge is powerful, and when people wake up, then they become fearless. And they were fear-mongered oh, my God, you're going to die if you don't do this, then you don't lock down and you don't isolate from your family and your friends and you don't go to school and you don't go to work and you don't open your business. Well, in the meantime, they were buying up all the land and the property that was being lost and all the farmland. So, no, that's a fraud on the American people. And that is also crimes against humanity, in my opinion, total crimes against humanity, to take advantage of causing the people to lose their businesses and their income and their farms and their crops so that they could go in and swoop them up for less money and control them.
Well, I'll always follow the money trail. I don't like to talk. I'm not going to talk about it, but I think I've told you that in my own family, I have pretty much looked into the history of some really dishonest people. And you wonder about it. What causes a person to become almost pathologically evil and greedy? I mean, and to do the things that they do. And I have no answer, okay? I've looked back. I mean, you could take two people. They could put them in the same set of circumstances. One becomes honest and one becomes dishonest. And I have no answer. And I think they've been trying to find answers for many years. But I've seen it within my own family. And
I think what happens, Judy, is that the ego becomes so inflated, they begin to believe they are gods and that they can buy anything and everybody. and they can do whatever they want, that they're above the law because the Department of Justice won't come after them because they hire teams of lawyers who will protect them. And it goes back to the money and to the ego until their ego is deflated by God one day, possibly, and then they're brought to their knees. And that's the only time I've seen anybody with a lot of money whose ego takes hold and they become better than everybody else, and everybody else is a bottom feeder when they no longer have their health.
Right. I saw this with my great uncle. Basically, he died, and it was only when he was dying that suddenly he became weak and wanted everyone to care for him and love him. And I thought, you have destroyed so many people. But that was fine in the course of his life. Even destroyed family. Mm-hmm. Didn't care. And but now, weak and defenseless and dying, he wants forgiveness.
Yeah, they look at other people like, you know, you're not of any value. You're not of any worth to me. And so they look down on the masses when, in fact, your health is your wealth. And they don't see it that way because their ego's in the way. And so they cannot love themselves, or they, you know, that's why they don't love themselves. And their money fills, they're trying to fill that void with all this money. And money comes and goes. I mean, just as soon as the stock market goes up, it can come crashing down on them as well. And they don't think of that, though. They think they're going to be in that position forever. But God has his own plan, and they don't know
agenda.
What that plan is. And I wouldn't be tempting that plan, I'll tell you that. But anyway, Judy, you watch a fabulous PBS documentary and on the Holocaust, and you are very knowledgeable about it. So can we take a break, and will you stay with me so you can talk about this particular documentary?
Well, it's coming up. Okay, that's fine. All right.
Okay. I'll be right back after this important message on Columbo Chronicles, and we are talking to Judy Watson. Be sure to get a copy of her book on Amazon, Wings, W-I-N-G-S, and you will learn about old Hollywood and how they made the movie and came about to make this fabulous Emmy Award movie, Wings. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up.
Oh, you silly creature.
The customer service is excellent.
Well, you gotta wait.
Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up to Columbo Chronicles Live because we are talking to Judy Watson, and she's going to talk to us more about the Holocaust and a wonderful PBS documentary that she is very well aware of, and she has plenty of knowledge to share with us on that particular documentary.
Well, okay. First of all, I'm going to recommend a book that nobody even, I don't even know if you can buy it anymore. And I had my hairdresser, young girl, say to me, well, why? Because she's not, you know, she's now this century. Why did people hate the Jews? Well, there was a lot of historical backdrop to that. And there's a book called The Last of the Just, which traces the anti-Semitism in Europe, where it really began, all the way back to the beginning, and it was written by a man called Andre Marx. What's his name? Oh, he was famous. He was a Jew, a Polish Jew, who took a French name. I love it. He only wrote one book, André Schwarzbart. He won every award there was possible. If you read the book, you will understand the complete history of the Jews, why they felt they could be perpetrated upon, why they felt they could be misused, and why they were so used. It was nothing new, you know. In Europe, they were put into ghettos and shettles, and every one of my relatives came out of that type of background. So you have a people who have already been suppressed. They're not allowed to be educated. They work as slaves in factories. They are used. They are abused. They only know a life of being sublimated to anybody else. And coming to this country, they began to have a chance and be seen as human beings. In a way, the Jewish experience to me is very similar to the Black experience. And I think the Black people need to step it up and get as much education as they can, stick together, unite together, and build together, because that was the only answer I saw for Jewish people. But in the Holocaust, that was before. I mean, I've read with a group so many books about why they allowed themselves to be treated as they were treated, which is horribly. And there was some mystical feeling that this was their destiny. And then Israel began. Israel ended all of that. Israel brought forth the Sabra, the fighter, the IDF, the Mossad, and it's never going to be the same again. But you have to have that happen. And they were so fortunate. They really were. I remember as a kid being tormented. Oh, the wandering Jew. Oh, you play a Jew's harp. Oh, you're a Jew. Oh, you look, I can tell by your eyes, you're a Jew. And you just silently stood there and you took it. But then Israel was created.
It's kind of funny, yeah. Because once in a great while I've been asked if I'm a Jew, and my mother was always asked if she was a Jew. And
because they were supposed to be dark, yeah, I know.
And
if you're Italian,
so,
all the Italians I knew, yeah.
Yeah, and so it didn't bother me. I mean, I didn't feel offended or anything, you know. I mean, because I've always gone along with the Jewish people. I think Italian people have always gone along with the Jewish people, and very much alike, you know, cooking food,
they are.
Loud.
Well, they're very family oriented. They're family.
Yeah.
They're emotional. I mean, if you talk to an Italian, you talk to a Jew, it's hands and gestures, and up. The voice goes up, the voice goes down. You know.
Yeah, if you have to watch your glass, we might knock it over. You know, we're talking to you because we love you and we want to express everything. You know, and so
yeah.
That's the way my family was. You know, and so especially when Grandma and Grandpa were alive, and so with this wonderful film, that PBS film that you came across and you watched, and
it started.
I think it was
Saturday.
Called The U.S. and the Holocaust.
Yeah.
It was three
episodes
filmed by Ken
this.
Burns.
Yeah, and this is what I'm. At first, when I saw it came on, I don't watch PBS that much, but all of a sudden it came up. It'll be the first three parts, 3 days, and the first one will be this Saturday evening. Ken Burns had done this documentary about the Roosevelts, and it was marvelous. But I knew inside of myself, because of the books and the groups, that FDR was quite anti-Semitic. And in the Roosevelt documentary, he was a hero. And apparently, and so I'm reading this article here about questions that were asked of Ken Burns, and finally people went after him, and people would say to him, why didn't you know he was anti-Semite? Why did you put him in there as a hero? You know, so he decided to get involved in making the series and find out, was this true? How did this happen? What really went on in our country? And everything I've read, there's a question and answer thing I found from PBS, is really marvelous. And I think it'll be a terrific documentary to watch. I know I'm going to watch it.
Well, one of the questions that you sent me that I found interesting about this documentary, which I wondered myself at times, was why didn't the United States bomb Auschwitz?
If you go down, you read the questions in which there's a stunning answer, and the answer is FDR didn't care. He really didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, your film describes Franklin D. Roosevelt's Holocaust strategy. It was to win the war as quickly as possible and punish the perpetrators afterward, not to rescue the Jews. He could see no way to rescue them, and with all the losses his armies were suffering, he thought it impolitic to lose more lives in a rescue attempt. Was he wrong? And the answer is, politically, nothing's wrong with it. It's accurate. He's not a king or an absolute dictator. He can't by fiat rescue Jews and admit them to the United States. Wow. He's not mindful of the problem. He knows what he has to do. So he makes a decision. And he has to, and his history will be that he has to live at the way history will record that decision. So I don't know. It depends, you know, that he says we've been more public about the crimes being committed earlier and louder. That might have helped if everybody had known. We didn't do that. Our country was silent. That is on the president. But it's also on members of his administration, and I'm going to say the media, who are virulently anti-Semitic and slow-walked or obstructed anything good. So basically he's saying that, you know, it was here in this country. Go ahead. Listen.
Oh, I was just going to say, but this prejudice by bigots has always been in America and the world, not
yes.
just America, because everybody has been discriminated, not just the blacks. I mean, everybody has been discriminated against. Most people that came here were poor. They had nothing. And so they didn't live, in great places, all of them, most of them.
You have to watch all the stories of the Greek story, the Italian
story. They had to struggle and work hard. Yeah, I mean, there's not just the Italians and the Irish and the, everybody had their neighborhoods because everybody was discriminated against each other. And then on top of it, you have this these people in government who were bigots, and they decided that everybody that wasn't looked all American wasn't an American, so they put them into pockets of people who were minorities. And I hate that word minorities, because that means people are inferior to those who name them minorities. And I hate that word. I do not like the government dividing people by the word minorities. I think it puts a very negative connotation on that group of people. Like the Native Americans have suffered more than anybody.
Oh, yes.
And they're still
they
suffering
really have.
Today. And nobody
right.
talks about them hardly. You know, but they're not.
I know
out,
there's.
You know,
I think there's a film
rioting.
Coming out from by Scorsese about all the killing of this one particular tribe of very wealthy Indians. And each time I've read a book about the Cherokees, oh my God! Or I read about the Sierra, the Indians up in the Sierra Mountains. Here's a little tidbit, which I'm going to throw out there, which I wish would happen. There was a marvelous book called Rabbit Boss, and it was all about what happened to the Indians that lived up here in the Sierra Mountains and how they were decimated and destroyed. And the book was marvelous because it gave a complete history over generations. Burt Reynolds bought the book. He optioned the book to make a movie, and then he got sick and old, and it disappeared. So I'm going to put that out there. I hope somebody knows somebody. It was one of the most marvelous books you will ever read in your life. And so we have these stories that come forward, and then they get pushed under, and you know how Hollywood is especially, and then they just disappear. They just disappear.
Yeah, it's really sad because the important movies of human interest and historical, and even if they're exaggerated here and there, I mean, they're so important. People love them. They absolutely love them, and they yearn for them because, I mean, everything's such a cookie cutter now. You can almost predict what's going to happen next in a movie, and it's all raw sex. It's like X-rated, and it's like we don't know how it's done, you know what I mean? And little children are at the movies or in the homes, and it's embarrassing, and you don't want them to see this stuff. I mean, I don't even want to see it. I mean, I know how to do it. Everybody knows how to do it since Adam and Eve. I mean, it was so much better in the times when they just made it all a mystery, you know, the bedroom door, they got into bed, and then, boom, they cut it off, you know. We don't need to see all that. You can go to an X-rated movie house if you want to see that stuff or buy the X-rated films. But people are more interested in real comedy, real drama, real mystery, like when they had all the twists and turns and you were on the edge of your chair, and they weren't all gory and horrible where you had to see the raw stuff. And, I mean, you even have to watch what you see videos on YouTube, you know, sometimes. And so, I mean, I don't know why these producers think people want to see that. I really don't.
Okay, my son is a writer, you know that. And I asked him,
yes,
why? And he said, because they just don't want to invest money in writers. They put young people who really don't write well, who don't have experience, and they hire them because it's cheaper. And then they have a certain formula, and they follow the formula. And this is what's happened. He blamed a lot of it years ago on MTV. Remember MTV?
Sure.
Everything was like, what, 1 minute, 2 minutes long? And I remember that MTV began to the destruction. I used to read Time magazine. I looked forward to it. Took it for years. And then I stopped. Why? Because no story was longer than two paragraphs. MTV. And this is what began to happen, and it penetrated all of our culture. I cannot tell you why. I used to buy The New Yorker. It was famous for cartoons, no longer there. Famous for marvelous, you know, autobiographical stories, no longer there. And we stopped being storytellers, and we only became pieces of information that pass very quickly, and we don't have to think about it. And if you watch the nightly news, I can only watch it for about 15 minutes, one killing after another, one burglary after another.
It.
And then in between, get your COVID shot, you know?
I don't watch it because don't watch it because it's about opinions. I used to, you know, I liked the news when they told the news and they didn't give their opinions.
Correct.
They left you with an objective. This is what happened. This is where it happened. This is why it happened. This is who it happened to. And boom. Okay, now you make up your own mind.
Well, that stopped a long time ago, along with MTV, became the cycle of,
but that's
let's
what
put
I'm
it
saying.
On here really
I
fast.
I liked it when
we'll
it was
people. Yeah.
When it was real news, not,
yeah.
Oh, well, this is my opinion. I think they're guilty. Well, how do you know? They're denying somebody their day in court. They're denying the evidence, and they're already accusing somebody of being guilty. Just because you're arrested on television and it gets caught on camera does not mean you're guilty.
Yeah, I just and then they're very politically influenced. I really can't stand the local channels because they're so heavily influenced by the governor of the state and his horrible policies. And it's all political propaganda, sometimes just wrapped in various, you know, colors so that we don't realize how much propaganda we get with the news.
I think that's why their ratings are so far down, because people are realizing it and they're sick of it. You know, they're tired of listening
to
their opinion.
Yeah, I just turn it off.
I don't even watch it. It's just like, okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, where's both sides of the story? You know, I want to hear both sides of the story. I don't want to hear your opinion. Bring me two people with two sides of a story. But Judy, it's been fascinating talking to you, and I have totally, and I think the audience has totally enjoyed your information, and we'll have to have you back, and I hope everyone gets a copy of your book, Wings.
Watch that,
pardon?
Oh, you're sweet about my, watch that PBS special if you get it, because I do think it'll be. When I first read the information, I was against Ken Burns because I watched his documentaries and I thought, I knew FDR was anti-Semitic, but he allows the story to be told. So I think it will be a great documentary, okay? I don't
even
know who he
is.
I'm giving him this. But anyways, Rose, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. We'll do it again. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
And Judy Watson has left the building, and I just hope you enjoyed the show and that you gained a lot of information from it.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world, written with an Orwellian twist. Will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Do yourself a favor and get a copy of Obamasaurus. You'll be happy you did.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you. And so does the rose.